Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen. Celebration Choir, my gracious, what a powerful song. I hope that that is your prayer today, that the Holy Spirit rain down in this place. I tell you, I have prayed that for this week. That has been my prayer, as I shared here just a few moments ago with you, that this morning, at the end of this service, that this altar be filled. Not on my account, not on the account of this church, but because God's people has been listening and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit today. My prayer is, God, just before I walk right up here just a moment ago, God, change my life today. Lord, change me today. For God, I know today that I have fallen short in my walk as a believer this week. And if we're all honest with ourselves in this room today, if we're believers, so have we. The Bible's very clear that we are all sinners. There is not one of us exempt in this room from that. There's an even playing field, if you will, when it comes to those who are sinners, because we're all in that category. Does not matter what life has brought our way, we're all there. Today, though, the question that must be answered in this room right here this morning is this: are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to change your life as He rains down in this place today? I pray that you do. I really do. I want to invite you, if you would, to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians with me. The book of Galatians. Now, we are this morning continuing our series, going deeper in the Word of God. And this is the final set, if you will, of messages in that particular. This began a couple of months ago, and we've run all the way through this. And sure, I know you've picked up on this. This series has followed the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and now God the Holy Spirit. He is what we're talking about. And as we go deeper into the Word of God this morning, as we follow and continue that trail of talking about the Holy Spirit, this morning we're talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And are we willing this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to touch our lives, change our lives? If you would bow with me, please. Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity now to proclaim your word, Lord, the things you and I have talked about this week, and God, the things you revealed to me through your word, that God, I pray you give me the ability today to convey that to your people sitting in this room with me today, those who will be listening by internet, or Father, those who will be listening to CDs, maybe months, weeks, possibly even years from now. God, I pray that it's not my voice that changes their life, Lord, but it is your voice through your Spirit, God. I pray this morning now that as we continue and look at this word, that God, as years and years ago, as Paul, under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, penned out the words to a church, that God, not only for that church, but this church here today in the 21st century, that is Grand View, these words are so relevant. Now, Lord, reveal to us today, I pray, who we really are in your sight. I pray you open our lives up and we see ourselves as you see us. God, whether or not we are allowing the flesh or the Spirit to win the fight in our life today, in Jesus' precious name I pray, amen and amen. As of January of this year, there are still 21 conflicts or wars being fought around the world. Even as we're meeting right here in this service this morning, though they are those who are on the front lines of battle in Afghanistan, they are there fighting this very moment. The world sets back, the United States sets back, and as we keep a ever watchful eye on Iran and the activities that they're portraying, the things that they're doing, and the world itself holds its collective breath as North and South Korea cast evil eyes upon one another and threaten one another. There is conflict raging in this world today. However, there is a war that is raging today where not one shot has been fired from a rifle, to where one person has not physically been injured. And that battle is the battle between the flesh and the spirit that rages inside of you and me right now. There is a battle that is being waged right now in this room, in your heart and in your mind, as well as mine right now. And that battle is this. Are you going to listen to the preacher? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to check out mentally and begin to allow our minds to wander to what we're going to do this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, so on and so forth? I want to encourage you this morning to listen and listen to the Spirit speak to your heart today as we read and see what the Word of God has on this subject about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the battle that rages inside of us. Here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, if you're there, say amen. Paul writes this to the church at Galatia. He is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he is writing out the words that God has given to him. And he writes to that church, not only to that church, but to this church right here this morning, and says these words, "But I say," he is calling our attention to the subject at hand, he is grabbing our attention, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. In other words, follow the leadership, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, and you and I will not carry out the desires of the flesh today. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Paul says that these, now he grabs our attention and says, these are the key indicators. If these dominate in a person's life, if these portray themselves in your life and in my life, then we are allowing the very flesh inside of us, our fleshly desires, to win that battle that rages. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, here we go, he begins to name them, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're sitting in this room and you have fallen prey to those things that are found right there, raise your hand. Okay? You say, well, wait a minute now. I'm not involved in immorality. I'm not involved in impurity. I'm not a drunk. I'm not involved in sorcery. I'm not worshiping the devil or anything like that. But did you notice what Paul did at the very end of that? Because see, just at the end of that, every hand in this room should have went up. See, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. Every one of us. All of us are sinners. And Paul ends that and says, and all things like these. He covers it all. Every bit of it. He says these are the things that we battle with. These are the evidence of the flesh winning that battle. But then he goes on in verse 22 and says this. Changes the thought process when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Paul begins and shares with us right here through that passage of Scripture, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's about three things that he shares with us there that I want to give to you this morning. You may want to write these down. They'll be up on the board here. The first thing that Paul shares with us is this, is the war for control. There is a war for control of your life and my life that rages right now. In verses 16 and 8 through 18, Paul tells us about that war when he says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Now, he begins this passage and ends this passage with that very thought, allowing the Spirit of God to lead our life. "And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law," Paul tells us. The Bible is clear. Paul emphasizes it to the church at Galatia and to us in this room this morning, that there is a battle raging inside of us. We have the fleshly thoughts and desires. Then there is the very Spirit of God that dwells inside of us, that each and every day those things collide with one another. And there is a battle that rages. Should I do what's right or should I do what's wrong? We tend to lean and want to do what's right. Amen. We tend to do that, but that draw is there, isn't it? That sin nature is there that every one of us has. As the Bible tells us, Paul wrote to the church at Rome and says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, there is no exception to that. I believe wholeheartedly that when you and I, when we took our first breath on this planet, that we had what is known as a sin nature, if you will. It is the draw of the flesh, this body, this mind, that pulls us towards doing what is wrong rather than what is right. Think about this for just a moment. I don't know of any parent, there may be, I don't know, but I don't know any parent who teaches their 2-year-old to say no. Now listen, little Mike. You just, when I tell you to do something, you say to the top of your lungs, "No!" Wayne and Margaret would have never done that. I'm just going to tell you that. That's my mom and dad. They would have never done that. I have not taught my children. Now, Libby, Stuart, when mommy and daddy tells you to do something, you tell us no. Libby's not here this morning. She's on a mission trip with her Sunday school class from here at the church, and I can talk about her. She told me no. One time. One time. And I am not kidding you. I told her, Lynn was in college at the time, and Libby and I were at the house by ourselves, and it was time for bedtime. Maybe you parents have been there. And I told Libby, I said, "Libby, it's time to get up and go to bed." "No!" I was a little bit more agile at the time. I actually jumped over the couch. She bolted down the hall screaming. She was screaming no, no again, but it was for another reason now. She's going to kill me if she knows I did this. Running down the hall screaming no, no, no. I don't know of any parent that teaches their child, but they do it, don't they? And I don't know of any parent who has taught their child to selfishly, I don't know why this is, they selfishly don't want to share their toys. You ever been in a group like that? I mean, they don't want to share with one another. I mean, they just, You know why that is? It's because we've all been ingrained with a sin nature. It is programmed into us. It is the flesh inside of us, if you will, to do what's wrong. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. There is no exceptions to that rule. That's the reason I said when we read out those things a while ago and Paul ended that right there in Galatians, that every hand should have went up because he says, and all things like these. He covered it all, every bit of it. So we have that nature. That is one side of us inside of here that's pulling on us each and every day. Because quite honestly, we may not be 2-year-olds, but there is something inside of us today. Whenever God leads us, we may not verbally say it, but mentally in our hearts and our minds, we just flat out say, no, God, I ain't gonna do it. I've been there. I've done that. I did it verbally when God called me into the ministry. I stood in the driveway of the house that my wife and we had just built. I stood on the driveway of it. Beautiful grass. Oh, my gracious, beautiful. I stood in the driveway and looked into the sky and said these words, no, God, I am not going into the ministry. I've got it too good. We've just built a house, just bought 2 acres of land right here, built a house on it. Hey, I've got a fine job working in Columbus, Georgia. My wife's got a good job. We're not going nowhere. No. God said, oh yeah, you are. We may not verbally say that, but I guarantee you, the fleshly side of us pulls us to say no. Ain't gonna do it. And see, then there's the other side. Then there's the Spirit of God. Because see, for every one of us sitting in this room here today who are believers, who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Because when you and I prayed what is known as the sinner's prayer, when we got on our knees, or maybe we sat in a chair, or maybe we might even be standing, maybe we might have been like Brother Lloyd Broxson, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, maybe, I don't know if you did this, he did, kneel down behind a mule and a plow in a peanut field and pray the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Maybe it went something like this right here. Dear Lord, I pray and I confess today that I am a sinner. God, I am a sinner in your eyes. Lord, I know that your son Jesus Christ come into this world. He lived, he was crucified, he died and was placed in a grave, and on the third day he was raised from that grave to give me victory in my life over sin and over death itself. God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be Lord of my life. Do you realize this morning, at that very instant, you invited and I invited the very Spirit of God to come into our life. And at that very moment, now the Spirit of God dwells inside of you as well. But it did not totally annihilate the flesh. And buddy, I don't know about you, but in my life since July the 6th, 1986, they've been at it every waking moment. I know they are. They're still at it in my sleeping moments as well. They're still going at it. It is every day that battle rages. Listen to what Paul says. You may want to turn there. If you don't, that's fine. But here in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I want you to see this. And today, listen to me, if that battle's raging inside of you today, you're in pretty good company based on what we're about to read right here. Because you fall right in line with Paul, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament in the Bible. Paul dealt with this too. You know what? I don't feel so bad now. Knowing that Paul fought with these things. Hey, I feel like I'm in pretty good company here. If Paul fought with it and battled with it, a man who was stoned, left for dead, beaten, drug out of a city and stoned, shipwrecked, thrown in prison solely because of what he believed and preached, and didn't back down, I'm in pretty good company. Notice what he says here. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. If you're there, say amen. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Paul says right there, if I may paraphrase this, Paul says right there, the flesh is winning the battle in my life. He's saying, I know what's wrong. I know what's right. I want to do what's right. But doggone it, I end up all the time doing what's wrong. Is there anybody else in here like that? Man, that's me. I mean, you say, well, you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm a preacher, but I'm also human as well today. And I tell you what, guys, that battle rages. And you know what? I got to be honest with you before God Almighty this morning. Sometimes the flesh wins. It does. The flesh wins. But you know what? Listen to me. Don't beat yourself up over that. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, because it's not. But don't beat yourself on it, because even Paul himself said right here, you know what? I lose that battle sometimes as well. I know what's right, but doggone it, I end up doing what's wrong. The very thing I hate and despise, that's what I end up doing, Paul says. My gracious. But see, the Bible goes on and tells us this. As those two wages that war inside of us. As those two wage that war inside of us. And you may want to write this down. You don't have to turn there. This is the evidence in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I encourage you to write that down and go back for later study on that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul describes there in Ephesians, he describes when we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm paraphrasing this. When we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, at that very moment, that is when the Spirit indwells us and begins to live inside of us, okay? You'll want to make note of that, all right? So we establish the fact through Paul's writings here in Galatians that there is a battle that rages inside of us. Maybe every moment of every day, there is the fleshly side, that which we know is wrong, that which we do not want to do, and then there is the very Spirit of God, that which is right, that which we know we ought to do. But if you're like me, sometimes we end up doing the very thing we hate and know what is wrong. Well, why is that? Well, hold on, and we'll answer that hopefully here in just a few moments, okay? The next thing I want you to see is this. We see, first of all, that there is a war for control in your life and my life. Secondly, let's look at the picture of a person without any control whatsoever. This is the person without control. The Bible tells us here in verses 19 through 21, Paul begins to describe in those particular, or he gives us traits there, if you will, of somebody who is allowing the flesh just to dominate their life. I mean that. Now, let me qualify this. I hope we all understand this morning that as believers, that we still make mistakes. We still sin. Is everybody with me on that? Okay, we do that, all right? What Paul is saying here, if you'll notice on into the passage here in just a few moments, Paul is saying somebody who just continuously, without stop, just repetition, this is all they do. I mean, they're continuously involved in this stuff. They are continuously just overwhelmed, and this is the traits that they portray. All right, that's who he's talking about here. Notice what he says. This is the person without any control or restraints. It says, verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. These are what you can look out for in a person to see if they are being dominated and led by the flesh. Here we go. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Here it is. I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice, that is a continual act, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If I can summarize that, here it is. Those people that are doing that, who are continuously practicing those things, I am no judge of anybody, but the possibility is high that the Spirit of God does not dwell inside of them. You see what I'm saying here? This is a person that is totally without control. I mean, they have not allowed the Spirit of God to take dominion in their life, to totally dominate their actions. They are just reckless abandon, doing whatever life brings their way. There are about 16 things there that Paul mentions, and I want to just touch on a couple of them. And the first few right there is the ones I want to. So follow me for just a moment, if you will. The first one is immorality. Automatically, when everybody hears the word immorality, they lean towards thinking along the lines of some sensual sin, if you will. Okay? They lean towards that. That's the first thing that comes to their mind. And that's part of it. Yes. But you know what dominates and what really eats a lot of people alive? That's part of it. But it is the immorality in other areas, if you will. It is those things that are, we might say there's a little gray area on, if you will. There's some things, you know, possibly like, you know, maybe a little white lie never hurt nobody. I didn't figure you get no amens right there. Listen to this. I come across this article in my studies. It was an article written entitled, "Oddly, Hypocrisy Rooted in High Morals." It was written by a lady by the name of Jean Briner. And she writes this, and I quote, "But often in life, the line between right and wrong becomes blurry, particularly when it comes to cheating on a test or in the workplace. For example, somebody could rationalize cheating on a test as a way of achieving their dream of becoming a doctor and helping people," end quote. You know, I thought about that a lot this week. I've had several surgery. I say several. One's enough. I had surgery on my neck last year. Repair, fix. We're in the South. We're fixing it. To fix my vertebrae in my neck, two fractured vertebrae in my neck. And I got to be honest with you. I've thought about this. If that doctor, if that neurologist would have come in there and said these words, "You know what? I just wanted you to know that I cheated on my surgery exam. But I'm fixing to rip you open and replace some vertebrae." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I would have had the surgery done. Maybe you would have. And he said, "You know what? I cheated on that so I could help you." Well, I tell you what let's do there, Mr. Surgeon. You take the next person in line and I'll see how you do with them. And I'll be back later. You see the process that's come along now? It doesn't matter how you reach a certain end. It does not matter the way you reach that end. It's only about the end results now. No, it's not. It's how you get to that end result is what matters. It's not, well, you know, just as long as I'm helping people, it doesn't matter if I cheated on that exam. That's immorality. Because, see, our morals should be higher. I'm not going to cheat and lie my way just so I can help people. I'm going to do it right so that I can help people. You see the difference in that? See, we have gotten to the point now, it doesn't matter how you do it just as long as you get there. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter how you do things to get to a certain end. It's the things that get you there. Because, see, I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. If you cheat and lie to get to a certain end, when you get to that end, guess what? You're going to keep on cheating and lying. Human resource departments, I can't remember where I read this, human resource departments say now the biggest problem they have now in HR departments now is lying on resumes. Lying on resumes. People with graduate degrees, doctoral degrees, and never have even set foot in graduate school. What? I'm doing it so I can help people. I have the skill set to be able to help people. No, 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 no. It's still immorality. Paul says those who are practicing such things, and there's more things other than cheating, lying, stuff like that. There's more than that. Paul says if that person is continuously practicing those things, then the very Spirit of God is not dominant in their life. Notice with me the second thing that he talks about here. He talks about impurity. Impurity. See there, he mentions immorality. Secondly, he mentions impurity. This word, listen to this, this word is defined by Webster's as a contaminant. It is something that contaminates one. It is something that contaminates something. Listen to this. That contamination, not only does it affect the person, but it affects the people around them as well. If you were here the other Friday evening, if you were here the other Friday evening for the marriage enrichment, the date night we had, man, what a powerful night it really was. And I'm here to tell you is, Carrie began to share that story about her son, her 11-year-old son. You know, I sat there and I thought about that since she's told that story. Now, I believe this with all my heart, that that young boy is affected now for the rest of his life. You know why? Because those images are seared on the photo wall of his mind. They're there. They are there. If you weren't here, this is what I'm talking about. Short, long story short, her son was on the internet looking at pornographic images. As a parent, crushed her. And that was very evident if you were here. You saw it. Very evident. Crushed her. And I want to share this with you today. Listen to me. It's things like that right there here today that once those things are viewed, once those things have entered, they are there. They are seared on the photo wall of our minds. The impurity, the contaminants, it's always there. It's still there. It is seared onto our minds. That's what Paul is talking about. It's those type things that we face in this day and age. And it leads right into his next point there as he begins to talk about someone who is dominated by the flesh today and continuously practices those things. When it comes to his third thing is sensuality. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but did you realize this today that we live in the most sensual society on the face of this planet? You don't believe me? I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. You can't pick up a magazine. You can't pick up a magazine today without some sort of explicit sensual thing, that picture there. I'm here to tell you, listen to me. This is what crowns it all. We cannot even today sell a hamburger without a sensual, I mean almost pornographic image. We can't do that today. What in the world has gone haywire? And we wonder why our children are involved in all of these things. We wonder why in the world we see families being ripped apart by this stuff. We wonder why in the world we hear all of this stuff. I'm here to tell you we're bombarded with it every day of our life. You can't even drive around the town that you live in without seeing it on the billboards. You can't watch the television without it seeing there. Myself and my neighbor was talking just yesterday evening. He and I were standing out in the yard and this commercial come up. I'm not going to call the name of the commercial. Many of you nodding your head, you've seen the commercial. I'm here to tell you, me and him was talking about it. We're sitting there, that commercial. Man, you got to turn the TV. My gracious. What? Paul says, though, those that are being dominated by the flesh, That is one of the characteristics that we find in these people. But notice what he goes into next. He says idolatry. And this is the last thing I want us to see. He talks about idolatry. Now, Webster's defines idolatry as this: the worship of a physical object as a god, and secondly, the attachment or devotion to something. You've often heard preachers say this, that an idol is anything that takes you away from God. I agree with that. An idol is anything that takes you away from God. Can I share this with you today? Listen to me. I praise God that you're here right now. I mean that. I really do. I praise God that you're sitting in this room right here this morning. You know why? Because there is so much else you could be doing right now. There is. Well, I tell you what, I look outside and I see the sun shining and nice breeze. Man, I'll just be honest with you. I would love to be playing golf. But you see, today, if I allowed that to override myself being here, now that has just become an idol. Because now I have put that in the place of God. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. Nothing whatsoever. I love it. But when that overrides God, now it's become an idol. Name anything else. Anything else. Watching movies. Reading books. Did you realize this? Listen to this. Did you realize this today? I believe this as a preacher, as a parent. I believe that we can allow our children to become our idols. I believe that. I believe that we can allow our children to become our idols. Case and point. Here we go. I was not raised in church. I didn't go to church as a kid. Most of the time on Sundays, I did one of two things. When a lot of my friends, not all of them, but a lot of my other friends were going to Sunday school and going to church and this type thing. Myself, I was normally either one or two things, practicing baseball, or either I was at Idlar Park running around the track there to be in shape so I could pitch. And the whole time, my parents at the time, they were right there behind me, rooting me on. They had allowed in their life for me to become an idol. Absolutely nothing wrong with playing ball. Nothing wrong. But when we allow that to override the things of God, now we have allowed that to become an idol. Where does it start? Does it start with the action itself? No. It doesn't. You know where it starts? It starts right here between these two. It starts in the mind. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7, it says these words right here: as a man thinks, so is he. As a person thinks today, so is he. You know why? Because what you think up here, give it a little time. Just sit back and watch. And one day, that will shine like the noonday sun for all the world to see. I ask you this morning. Today, are you allowing your flesh to be dominant in your life? I invite you to come back tonight. There's some more things in here. Paul speaks about the Spirit and the things that are evident with the Spirit, those who are being dominated by that. But I want to ask you this evening. Listen to me very closely. Are you allowing your flesh to dominate your life? Are you practicing the things of the flesh? Or are you walking by the Spirit, as Paul says? I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. This morning, sitting in this place, this is the invitation. Quite simple. First of all, it's to come to Jesus. This morning, the most important decision you'll ever make today is this. Is whether or not you will have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? That's the most important decision you'll ever make today. If you have never began that relationship, maybe you've never prayed what I talked about there. Maybe you don't know sinner's prayer. What are you talking about? Then today, listen to me. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're questioning that, or maybe even sitting here today, you've never ever done that, but you just feel like today, I just need something in my life today, then I'm here to tell you right here this morning, what you need is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to everything. I believe this. He is the answer to everything we have going on in our life today. I want to invite you right now to come to Him. Say, preacher, listen, I am being dominated and my flesh is winning out. And there are some of those things there just a moment ago that you read out of the Word of God, that today it is something that dominates my life. Then this is what you need to do. You don't have to come to me. You come right here to this altar, get on your knees, and you begin to ask God, God, today forgive me of that. Father, I pray today that, Lord, You would cleanse me of that sin. And God, I pray that You give me the strength to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit rather than be dominated by the flesh. So wherever you're at in this room right here today, listen, there is no judgment in this place today. None. I can't judge it. Not here to judge you. What I'm here to do is to encourage you today to come to Jesus. If the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, for goodness sakes, don't leave here this morning. Say, yeah, I'll do something about that later. No, this is what I want to ask you. I want you to come. You can come right now. You don't have to wait till we start singing. Just come on right now. Just get on your knees and begin to pray right now. God, touch me today. Father, You have spoken to me. I've heard Your Spirit speak to me. And now, God, I'm being obedient and I'm following through with what You've led to me or spoken to me about today. Come on right now. Father God, I pray in this moment, Lord, as my brother spoke right over here this morning, that today, God, we come with broken hearts. That God, today, our broken heart drives us to our knees. Lord, that today Your convicting Spirit, Father, shows us who we really are in Your eyes today. And God, when we leave this place here in just a few moments, that Lord God, we will know for sure that today, I am being led by the Spirit. I am walking by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. Lord, may we see Your fruit in this place today. May we see lives change, not for the glory of this church, but Lord, for Yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Let's stand as we sing. Just as I